This election season, Wisconsin Public Radio is meeting people where they are in their communities to talk about issues that matter most to them. As part of our ongoing conversations about the Beyond the Ballot project, we look at how Wisconsinites are dealing with prescription drug prices. Joining me, as she always does for these segments, Bridget Bowden, special project reporter at Wisconsin Public Radio. She's project manager of Beyond the Ballot. Bridget, good morning.
Good morning.
We're about 5 weeks away from the election. What is the Beyond the Ballot team working to achieve by then?
A few things. So our number one goal is to do 500 interviews. So we have quite a few more to go. So we'll be working really hard this month to talk to people all around the state. And we'll also be putting together stories using the interviews that we've already done.
We know that as a part of Beyond the Ballot, prescription drug prices are on people's minds. Let's turn first to Sandra Fick. What is her take on this?
Right. So Sandra is from Toma, and she sees the effects of prescription drug costs on the people she works with every day.
I'm an EMS worker, so I see a lot of people that are making decisions about drugs, whether to buy drugs, prescriptions that they need, or whether to eat, and that's not right.
So for some, prescription drugs play a vital role in continued health. What do high prices mean for Karen Hill?
Right. So this is an issue that comes up a lot. And for some people, it's a life or death issue. So like you said, this is Karen Hill, and she's from Milwaukee.
The cost of medication is so overwhelming. My husband's a diabetic. And so for the cost of insulin, it's crazy. I mean, even with our insurance, and we have our Medicare, but we also bought a supplement. We pay an additional $456 a month for a supplement. And that still doesn't pay for all the medication. Well, you cut back on, other things at home. You know, you cut back on your budget. You cut back on, you don't take a vacation. You don't buy as much food as you would want. You cut back anywhere you can. That's what you have to do in order to afford medication.
The cost of insulin comes up a lot in discussions of what it costs to buy prescription medicine. We've seen some price spikes in that, and it's really become a big issue. Did you hear this from others as well, that this type of thing was getting to be a real problem, where people had to decide between their prescriptions and putting food on the table?
Yeah, so this is a topic that comes up a lot in these interviews, and our questions are pretty vague. So we're asking, what's the most important issue to you? What can you tell me about a time the government has done something that hurt you or helped you? And this is something that people bring up on their own because it's very important to them.
Bridget Bowden is special projects reporter at Wisconsin Public Radio. She's project manager of Beyond the Ballot. Bridget, you have one more experience to share with us this morning. What is Charles Satterfield's experience with drug prices?
So Charles is from Madison, and when I interviewed him, he had actually been homeless for about 3 months, and he said the cost of his medication is one of his top concerns this election year.
I retire, and I get Social Security, but it's not doing anything because I still got to pay for my medicine. And my medicine is expensive because I have heart problems. And that medicine is expensive. But like, I don't run out of medicine now, and I can't afford to pay for it until I get my check. It's nothing I can do but deal with it and hope I don't die in the process.
Prescription drug price is just one health issue coming up as part of Beyond the Ballot. What else are people watching?
So healthcare comes up a lot, and prescription drugs are just one piece of that. People are concerned about the cost of their healthcare in general, and things like pre-existing conditions and the Affordable Care Act. These are all topics that come up a lot in these interviews. And again, all of our questions are very open-ended. So these are things that people are bringing up on their own because they care.
And how can people get involved if they want to share their own concerns or successes when it comes to getting the drugs they need?
Yeah, so like I said, we have a lot of interviews to do, so we would absolutely love it if people would reach out to us. So we have a couple of different ways that you can do that, but probably the best way is to go to our website. It's wpr.org/ballot, and there's a survey you can fill out right there, answer all of our questions, and maybe we'll reach out to you for an interview.
WPR.org/ballot. Okay, we got it. Bridget, thanks so much for joining us again this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Bridget Bowden is Special Projects Reporter at Wisconsin Public Radio. She's Project Manager of Beyond the Ballot, and she joins us regularly for these features on The Morning Show. Governor Scott Walker's decision to pledge billions of dollars to lure tech giant Foxconn to Wisconsin is shaping the debate on economic development in this year's race for governor. As Laurel White reports, Walker won't rule out more Foxconn-style deals in the future, while Democrat Tony Evers says the governor is taking the state down a slippery slope.
Over the course of the past couple years, Governor Scott Walker said repeatedly that something like the state's deal with Foxconn doesn't come around very often.
This once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Wisconsin and this new Foxconn...
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Wisconsin.
But Foxconn's status as a once-in-a-lifetime deal didn't last very long. It was only about 6 months later when the governor decided to pull out the Foxconn playbook in an attempt to keep consumer products company Kimberly-Clark from closing two plants in Wisconsin.
This is a large industry that has a multiple ripple effect out there. And I think in this case, we're looking when something has such a large impact, we're willing to put a significant offer on the table.
Since that proposal, the governor has insisted that Foxconn-style deals aren't going to be his go-to economic strategy in the future, despite what it may look like. Kimberly-Clark, he says, is special, like Foxconn.
The reason why we looked at Kimberly-Clark in a similar way that we did at Foxconn is these are transformational, industry-driven careers.
Timothy Bartik is a senior economist at the W.E. Upjohn Institute for Employment Research. He says the governor might have trouble being as selective as he wants to be with incentive deals now that he's set a precedent. Bartik says incentives are like potato chips.
When it comes to incentives, you can't hand out just one.
Bartik has studied economic incentive packages all over the country. He says Foxconn got 10 times the incentives businesses usually get.
You know, especially with Foxconn, they kind of throw out all the old rules.
Bartik says Wisconsin doesn't have enough money to keep handing out deals like Foxconn's. He says the state needs to be very picky about who qualifies for incentives. Governor Walker says he's doing that. He points out that Bonton, which had corporate offices in Milwaukee, announced plans to close stores and cut thousands of jobs. In that situation, state government did not step in. But the governor's Democratic opponent, State School Superintendent Tony Evers, argues Walker's deal with Foxconn was motivated by politics, not economic development. Evers says he has a different vision for how to spur Wisconsin's economy.
We are going to move away from the idea that somehow we need to throw a Hail Mary pass every 4 years in order to make economy grow in the state of Wisconsin.
Evers wants to eliminate the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, which approved the state's contract with Foxconn. He also says he wants to do more to keep state money in local communities by setting up loan programs for small businesses and startups.
Economic development in the state of Wisconsin should be a 72-county solution, not a southeast Wisconsin versus the rest of the state.
Evers won't commit one way or another to the Kimberly-Clark deal. He says he needs more details. But he says offers like it set a bad precedent.
Well, it certainly gives us pause, right? That if it's Kimberly-Clark, then it's somebody else and somebody else.
Evers says incentive deals like Foxconn and Kimberly-Clark can give the government too much power to pick winners and losers in business. Walker says they're evidence that he'll do whatever it takes when it comes to jobs. Whether future companies get the same treatment could hinge on who's governor for the next 4 years, leaving voters to choose who they think will give them the biggest bang for their buck. Laurel White, Wisconsin Public Radio.
For more coverage on Foxconn, visit WPR.org. Coming up on the morning show, Wisconsin could be the one of the best places in the country for lab monkeys to go to retire. We'll find out more about that when the morning show continues in just a moment. Lots more to come, so please stay with us. I'm John Munson. This is the morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stick around.